It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
You know, Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren are going to have a lot of trouble at their Christmas dinner together, I think. She's the Massachusetts senator that Trump calls Pocahontas because she says that she has Native American blood in her lineage.
She's been attacking Trump, though, as a surrogate for Hillary Clinton quite regularly and seemingly more and more frequently.
Does he man up and take his licks? Does he offer people their money back? No, no, no. He whines about the press. He whimpers about the students. And he complains that the judge doesn't like him. Well, Donald, it's time to stop sniveling and put on your big boy pants, because this is what accountability sounds like.
She's an effective spokesperson, I think, for Hillary Clinton. There are some people saying that they might run on the same ticket, even, that Elizabeth Warren could be a VP.
I'm going to build a wall against women, too, okay?
You might need to do that. That would help keep them both out.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if that whole thing worked for me. I think that Trump gets a lot of energy from people who play his game.
He just loves to lash back.
Well, he's just really good at it. He's really good at being aggressive, and most people aren't. I don't think Elizabeth Warren's a pit bull, you know?
I don't think so either. They're never quite good enough when they play Trump at his own game.
Yeah, exactly. Right? When they tried it, when Marco Rubio tried it, it just didn't seem right. And even Marco Rubio, this is what I like about Marco Rubio. He admitted it. He was like, you know what? I didn't do that right. Hey, I want a do-over. I didn't do that. I didn't do that real good. You know, he's like the millennial senator, right? He's like, he's not living in his parents' basement, right? But he's a millennial, right? Mom, Donald Trump's made fun of me. Call me little Marco.
Moms can always sort those sorts of issues
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So. Kevin knows.
Tell your mom on that
Kevin
stuff,
knows.
Don't you, Kev?
They always come through. Yeah.
And people make fun of you. You got to tell your mom.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the moment in this show where Kevin moves out of the house. We're gonna do the show from his house while the movers
from
are moving
basement.
Him out from the basement while his
man cave drinking muscle milk. I think
I'll be accepting
the
housewarming gifts as well. You know, everybody wants to chip in. That's fine.
Oh gosh.
Checking in at
number 4.
Speaker Paul Ryan called Donald Trump's criticism of federal judge textbook definition of a racist comment and says that he regrets that the Trumpster said any of this.
I disavow these requirements. I regret those comments that he made. I don't think claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment. I think that should be absolutely disavowed. It's absolutely unacceptable. But do I believe that Hillary Clinton is the answer? No, I do not. Do I believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the answer to solving these problems? I do not.
You saw this, didn't you? Because I heard it on WGN Radio, and you couldn't tell that he was sweating or anything like that or putting his head in his hands. But then when I looked online, I saw he was under fire with all the questions. Wait a minute. How do you defend your supporting this candidate?
Felt so badly for him because he's up there and he's got to. They don't know what to do. The Republican establishment, and when you say establishment, that's like it's a bad word. Like, oh my God, these are establishment. It's sort of like when you go to your doctor's office and you go, I want the least trained guy in this room to take out my appendix. I don't want any of these guys who've been doing it for like 20 and 30 and 40 years. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. I don't want them. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want someone who just graduated from high school to remove my appendix.
Right. The most volatile, the ones who tend to like go kind of rogue all the time. That's the guy.
Yeah. I mean, this is and so what the problem is that Paul Ryan is standing there going, all right, listen. And Paul Ryan's not, you know, a long term guy. He seems like a very he's a huge star in Republican circles because he's a guy that is that can stand up for his values, but yet not be insulting in the way that he stands up for his values. And he can be, and he flies the flag really nicely. So, all right, so here's a guy who's up there, and he does not know what the hell to do because every day he's got to apologize or respond to or put up with questions about something that the presumptive nominee just said. Like, about, okay, I'm building a wall. The guy's a Mexican. What part of Mexican don't you understand?
It's putting a lot of the party leadership in a very awkward position. And it seems now more than ever before, whereas I've found some of the other comments he's made to be way out there. And
well, that was before he was a presumptive nominee. Now he's a presumptive nominee, and they have to go on. They have to support him. Paul Ryan is the top elected Republican official in America. He's the Speaker of the House. It's like he's got to go up there and pretend he's interested. And you know he can't stand what Trump is doing and saying.
And he's got to try to unify the party and get lots of people within the party who weren't on board to get on board. And now today you see Senator Kirk saying, I cannot and will not vote for our party's nominee.
I don't care about him.
It's not working.
Okay. All right. Here's Chris Christie, who's trying to sneak in to his polling place in New Jersey and sneak back out.
Nothing to see here.
Right. When they got it, when the press jumped on him.
He's a hard guy to miss, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. They're jumping on him to figure out. Now, what do you think about this Trump thing?
I don't know this judge. I don't know him personally. I don't know the history of the Trump University case. So I'm not going to get into speaking about all that. I've said this before, that I know Donald Trump. I've known him for 14 years. And Donald Trump is not a racist. And so, you know, the allegations that he is are absolutely contrary to every experience that I've had with him over the last 14 years. And so... we're going to end it there.
So when you're playing golf with him, by the way, Trump's press conference tonight is at his golf resort.
In Mar-a-Lago?
No, in Connecticut.
Okay. It's hard to keep him
straight. He's doing it at the Trump International in, is it Trump? No, Trump National, I think.
In Connecticut,
yeah.
Have you played any of the Trump golf courses?
I have not. I stayed in Trump hotels, though. Mm-hmm. I've liked them. Mm-hmm. I like him. I like him now.
Beautiful hotels.
I like him a lot now, okay? He doesn't want to have a press. He only has a press conference at Trump Tower, at the Trump golf course, at the Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
Trump wines?
Trump wines, Trump steaks, Trump's this. He's only doing it to build his brand. We're being taken for a ride, okay? And there's Chris Christie, who all he can think about right now is, listen, I could still be VP, and he won't last. It's the only way that Chris Christie could ever be president of the United States.
I still can't get that image of him in the baseball pants out of my mind. You remember that when he threw out the first pitch?
Yeah.
Okay.
My doctor says I'm in great shape.
Even when you can't be there, they are at Chicago Tribune Sports Plus. More coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
All right, Top 5 Pop continues checking in at...
Number 3.
The Marimo knee versus an umpire. Baseball game gets out of hand.
This is a wacky story.
Umpire's name is Tim, 56 years old, says the mayor broke his jaw in two places, but in the mayor's words, he was just acting in self-defense. Saturday morning, baseball field on school property, directly across the street from the village hall where the Moni mayor, Jay Farquhar, allegedly got into an altercation with the umpire. An official from the Moni Baseball and Softball League told reporters that this incident in question took place after the second inning between Farquhar and the game umpire over a foul ball that Farquhar punched the ump.
Just broke his jaw.
Here you go.
I took offense when he called me a drunk. My father was a drunk. My mom had to raise 5 kids without any help from my father, any child support, anything. I was trying to turn him. So the coaches came in, and I never saw the punch. I mean, next thing I know, I caught one on the chin.
That's the ump right there, right? The ump. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Farquhar was managing a youth team on which his son was playing, and these kids were 7 years old.
And they're 7 and 8 year olds. Bad example for one. He's a mayor, elected official. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the whole town's got to be embarrassed.
Here's what the mayor said. There's no excuse for striking an official. In retrospect, it was a reaction which lacked comprehensively best judgment for the coach. Me, to defend myself against the physical escalation of the umpire as such as I was willing.
Did a lawyer write this, or is this speaking from the heart?
This is from his Facebook. It was like that alder tree. I don't know what I'm reading here anymore.
He says it was not best judgment is what he's saying. And mm-hmm. I willingly left the field and recognized the need to suspend helping to coach that team the rest of this season. I mean, I don't know. It feels as if, look, he says it was self-defense. Some others there say maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But what a bad example. I mean, you take aside the beef these two adults had with each other, you think about all the kids sitting there seeing this. That's pretty horrifying.
Let me just tell you something, Mr. Umpire. You're glad Rahm Emanuel didn't come out onto that field.
Can you imagine?
That's what I'm gonna say.
Even without one half of a finger, it wouldn't
right,
matter.
Exactly. Stick that right in your eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
That still would hurt. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Kobe Bryant may have retired from basketball, but the icon is not antsy at all. Five-time NBA champion. Talked about his game plan after basketball, which includes his own studio. Why do these guys always do that? He wants a film project. It's a short inspired by Dear Basketball poem.
What we want to do now is figure out a way to connect to the youth and teach them sports lessons. I think through sports, you can really understand a lot about the inner self. And that's what we're interested in doing. And telling sports stories in a way that raises a certain level of consciousness with the youth. So we're doing a short with Glenn Keane and John Williams, who have been two muses of mine forever. I mean, they're icons. And very fortunate to work with them on this project, which is the Dear Basketball project, which was my retirement letter. So
it was a powerful letter. And to take it to a different level, I think that's great.
I didn't know Kobe and WGN radio host John Williams hang out together.
Yes, Kobe is very he
they're
loves
very
that
tight.
Whole
very
Thomas
tight.
Jefferson thing. It's just
like
a
King
big
John,
big fan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, is he talking about John Williams, the Oscar winning?
Is that the composer?
One. That guy.
Oh,
I don't see Kobe hanging out with him either. I think Kobe's more likely to hang out with our John Williams than that John Williams.
That's true.
Don't you think?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, well, good for
you
Kobe.
You know, when I was doing the composition for Schindler's List, I invoked the notion of what a northern Polish winter would be like.
Like, what? It's Kobe like, what you talking about, man? All right. Okay. Okay.
Kobe and John Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And finally.
Number one.
Fox affiliate in Philadelphia has decided to test whether kids could recognize a VCR. This is National VCR Day, by the way. Oh. Who knew? And who could blame them? These are young kids who, by the time they were born, the DVD was already ubiquitous. And then the DVD's going away, right? Nobody needs that anymore. You got your on-demand, you got your digital.
Then why
digital,
do we need a National VCR Day?
I don't,
we
apparently
don't really
need
have
a
many
day.
VCRs anymore.
They got a day now that's all about the VCR. So it's very, very interesting, though, to see what they guess that thing is.
What is this thing called?
A DVD player.
It's not a DVD.
A speaker.
You see this thing right here? What is that?
Radio.
It's not a radio.
A CD player.
What is that thing?
A copier.
A copier, no. What is this thing?
A DVD player.
It's not a DVD player.
DVR.
It's not a DVR. Not a DVR. What is it?
A VCR player?
VCR.
Yeah, about that.
Boy, that's a way to feel old, isn't it?
Kids these days.
Yeah.
Would you be able to recognize one, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. VHS, yeah.
Back in my day, we didn't even have a television. We just had people come and act it out in front of our house.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, rewinding those things.
Be kind, rewind. Remember that? That was always on when you go to Blockbuster?
Didn't they charge you sometimes
charge
if
you like
didn't?
50 cents if
you
didn't rewind it.
Yeah, if you didn't rewind them all, they were deducting you for that.
And then you'd get it, and I'd always wonder, like, whose VCR was this in before mine? Because it always felt like it was going to be very dirty, like the tape was dirty, and it was going to make my VCR give my VCR a disease.
It depends what movies you were renting.
Sure, yeah. Good point.
That's true.
That was always fun as a kid, like running into that section and seeing how long I could last before someone started yelling at me to get out.
Behind the beads.
Yeah.
behind the beads. Yeah. And you're like, hey!
Or the saloon doors that kind of would block it off.
Yes.
Just run right through.
Hey, here's Schindler's List. Love that movie.
The names were hilarious, right? When you got to go peruse that whole section.
Finding Ryan's privates.
Yeah. I'm all mine. I think I'm too dirty.
But it did get kind of confusing with the Blu-ray. You know, you'd get home, you don't have a Blu-ray player, and then...
Oh, right. You bring home the wrong...
Yeah.
Well, it was a DVD. No. That was not a DVD.
VHS.
I know. I was fast-forwarding.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. See, I was afraid that she was like, no, we're talking about did you have a... you're 24, right?
Yes.
So did you have VHS tapes? Do you remember?
Yeah, Disney movies.
The Lion King.
Blockbuster stuff. It was all stuff that Bronco bought on the on the Ryan at 69th or whatever it is, where you get off and there's like all those guys who they have card tables set up.
I had Bambi.
You pull right back on.
I had Bambi in Serbian.
I bet.
I was like, what's going on?
In Bambi in Serbian, the deer shoots the hunter. You're a damn Croatian! Croatian!
No one cries.
Right, exactly. Right. No one cries.
They eat Bambi.
Right, the Bambi dies, and they go, yay! Little Croatian deer is dead!
And then the back end of it is taped over with the Broncos dancers from their world
tour. Oh, that always happened. We right, have no home videos.
Because you put a Band-Aid over that little hole in the back that would keep the thing from recording. Yeah, don't worry. I use for taping. All right. Judy's got the news here in 2 minutes. Close this thing up.
The top five at five.